On sports, part one, the definition of a sport. Out of respect for the field of biology, it's probably important to distinguish the living from the non-living, and that makes life a very broad and encompassing title, which includes, but is not limited to, people, their pets, their gardens, their vaginal infections, and certain kinds of cereal. Life can mean a lot of things, but it's not meaningless. Activity is a meaningless word. It's just life doing anything. It's dancing, it's hunting, it's listening to Bobby McFerrin, it's having sex, it's urinating, it's trying to eat a pine cone, it's playing Magic the Gathering, whatever. Activity is no more precise a word than thing or stuff, and barely more meaningful than And that's okay. Every language is entitled to one activity, but there cannot be more than one collective noun that encompasses boxing, darts, rugby, gun shooting, speed skating, horseshoe throwing, Olympic weightlifting, spelling bees, sprinting, poker, jiu-jitsu, and eating contests. Each of these is an activity, but they're not all sports. Some of them are. Boxing is definitely a sport, just like cycling and sprinting and swimming and speed skating are definitely sports, but using a broom to manipulate the distance a kettlebell-shaped hockey puck travels on a giant slip and slide, that's not a sport. That's just big shuffle puck. Now you could say, but curling is sanctioned by the International Olympic Committee as an official sport. Okay, who cares? The IOC makes embarrassing decisions all the time. Take the present example. Curling is to shuffle puck, as tennis is to ping pong, and soccer is to foosball. Ping pong is sanctioned, but shuffle puck and foosball are not? What does that mean? Does that mean ping pong is technically a sport and foosball is technically not a sport because tennis is so great a sport that even its miniature version counts? No. It just means the IOC hasn't yet realized their current inconsistencies and bad decisions. But I'm sure they will eventually, and at that point, curling and ping pong will be dropped from the games. Just like ice stock sport, i.e. Bavarian curling, was dropped. That used to be a sanctioned event too. It isn't anymore. The same can be said about surf life-saving, and ballooning, and ski ballet, and sportbul, i.e. bocce ball, and gilma, Scandinavian folk wrestling where the goal is to trip the other person, and korfball, a Dutch game where mixed-gender teams try to throw a ball into a bottomless basket, and disabled alpine skiing. Each of these had its time in the Olympic Games too. The IOC does not determine whether an activity is merely that, an activity, or if it is a sport. I make that decision. And according to me, there are very specific inclusionary criteria that must be met before an activity can be elevated to the status of sport. For example, exertional vomiting needs to be a routine component of your conditioning. This is why golf cannot ever be considered a sport. Speed golf, maybe. That's edging in on the biathlon in terms of physiological demands. But in regular golf, I've never once seen sudden cardiac death take a life on the back nine. It doesn't matter if you have sickle cell anemia, you can still compete for 12 straight hours totally risk-free. That is not a sport. Sickle cell aside, if an untrained, out-of-shape adult male were to be subbed in on game day, and he didn't have a heart attack within the first 4 minutes of participation, he was not subbed in for an athlete, and he is not participating in a sport. If you disagree because you get pleasure out of golf or out of your Thursday night bowling leagues, just compare your activity to running. If everyone in America had to perform a timed mile tomorrow, running it as fast as they possibly could, if you don't break 6 minutes, we'll take your children away from you, that level of effort, there would be at least 20 million heart attacks. Contrarily, if everyone went bowling tomorrow, the only health concern would be the exacerbation of some arthritis. People might need to take an extra naproxen that night, but no one would have to break out any defibrillators. Heart attacks aside, if you can compete against 24-year-olds when you're 51, this too is not an athletic endeavor. And it's partly why driving competitions are not sports, and why thoroughbred racing and the Iditarod are only sports for the animals. Yes, some serious athletes show up to the Kentucky Derby, but they're all horses. The people atop those horses are not athletes. All they're doing is giving the creatures really stupid names and then going on diets. Wow, what an astonishing display of athleticism. I had no idea the human form was capable of such feats, that the body could be pushed to perform at such an elite level. If you're competing in a team sport, and you're teamed up with an animal, and that animal is working harder than you are, you're not an athlete. At best, you're a farmer. In addition to regular exertional vomiting, an extremely strong age bias, and animal partnership logistics, a requisite component of every sport is a clear winner and a clear loser. If an activity does not end in one party feeling delighted and the other dejected, it remains an activity. And those winners and losers must be declared in a timely fashion. I don't care what an athlete needs to accomplish to earn his victory. I should never have to satiate a second appetite from a vendor. Just get it over with. I don't have all day. This criterion would exclude cricket from sportshood if it hadn't already been dropped owing to the weak age bias and lack of exertional vomiting. With or without crumpets, any sport that drags on past a single appetite loses its power to entertain. Slowly winding down towards some vague would-be finale offers no more excitement than watching someone mumble past bedtime. I guarantee you'll have a lot of fans trying to beat the traffic. If you want your audience to feel involved, make that ending happen quickly and make it resounding. Without a well-defined conclusion, nothing in the world, not even the world itself, is an entertainment. Take music, for example. Songs that end with a well-defined note are infinitely better than songs that end with a gradual fade-out. Anyone who thinks differently has never heard a song. And just like worthwhile songs, every worthwhile sport needs to end on a clear note, at which point the winner and the loser are announced. Lastly, during the entire duration of the song, i.e. sport, there has to be someone specific to root for. And that brings up a whole other subject, which I'll get into in the fifth segment. For now, all that's important is the definition of what a sport is. Obviously, the complaint I'm making here is that adult men in the Western world apply the word sport to way too many activities. Nobody is engaging in sport in a sports bar, or in a sports jacket, or even in a sports car. What does one do in a Corvette? Sit. You don't play hockey in it. If you try to defend this point by saying, yeah, but the car itself is sporty, then you shouldn't even be allowed to sit in it, and you should have your subscriptions to Car and Driver and Motor Trend canceled. The liberal use of the word sport has to stop. Activities either are sports or they are not sports, and driving a car to a bar in a casual business coat is not a sport. CourtneyJensen.com.